Good morning, Masechet Bava Metzia, Daf Kaf, Daf 20. Please go with Insta Perek today and dedicate the shiur to everyone who's died in this war, to the soldiers and to the civilians, all the Ptu'im, Chatufim. May we matzliach. We should be zoche quickly to see Gula from this situation. I'm going to dedicate the shiur as well to the Ilui Nishmat Daniel Sharon Ben Doron on his second day of Shiva. Should be Ilui for his Neshama. Okay, so we're carrying on with this, in the general discussion of Hashavat Aveda, and mentioning particular documents that have been found, and we've seen the Mishnah that we saw. I think it was on Yud Chet, right? Where was the Mishnah? Mishnah on Yud Chet says Matzah Gitei Nashim. Person found divorce documents, or Shichrei Avadim, or emancipation documents, or Datiki, or Veshchimera, or a gift document, or Shavarin, or receipts that debts have been paid. I raise the Yach doesn't return any of these things. Why? Because we say, Kotna you, the guy wrote them, but never actually gave them. Okay, that's the Hava Amina at the moment in the Mishnah. We don't actually give it to them. And therefore, the Mishnah also said, just worth looking at that again one more time, the Mishnah said, and as a result of that, if for time, Adanim Lach Shlolitnan, Ha Amar, Tnu, and if after you found the document, and then the guy says to you, Tnu, give it to him, you give him the document. Okay, that's the Mishnah up until now. All right, that was the Mishnah. So on that, the Bible says, Yatarabanan. I'm reading now four lines from the bottom of the Amud. last five lines. Matzah Shovar. So we found a receipt. Now, what's a receipt? Right, a receipt, Rashi says, right, he says to a receipt that the guy's got from his wife, his ex-wife, saying, I've been paid out for my ketubah. They might be married, by the way. I mean, I say ex-wife, that was too quick to say. Right, Selvin's getting excited. Right, they might still be married, and he paid her out of ketubah. Right, he paid out of ketubah. That's Rashi says, v'oda tachtav. Rashi says, and she's still living with him. Okay, that's the last two words of Rashi. V'oda is still living with him. But he paid her out of ketubah. I don't know, she wanted to do something, she wanted money, whatever. So now, first, Bisman Sheisha Moda, when the woman admits it, that no problem, I paid him, he paid me back, give it to him, Yach, give it to the husband. Aina Isha Moda, if the woman says, no, what are you talking about? She didn't pay me out by ketubah. Lo Yach, you don't give it neither, lo lezeh, lo lezeh. None of them get the star. So the Gemara now wants to make a duke of and says, Bisman Sheisha Moda, miat. When the woman does acknowledge that the husband has paid her out, yachzi the baal, we give back to the baal. But now the Gemara says, why don't we start being choshesh to all other concerns that we've seen up until now, right? You're giving it back. She says yes, and you give it back. Velechosh deal mekatva liten benisan. Maybe the star was written, intended to pay her back in Nisan, to give pay her out of ketubah. Velo natna at Tishrei, but in reality, he only gave her the money in Tishrei, 6 months later. Look at Rashi. Vulo parati shouldn't pay back Tishrei. So the star's got a star date on Nissan, but Tachlis when they paid out in Tishrei. Vaaz le zamte le ktuba betovatan. Ah, now what did the woman do in the meantime? She needed money. And her husband was stepping. He said, yes, I'm going to give you. Look, I've even written the star. The receipt, when I give it to you, you can sign. In the meantime, he never gave her the money. She went and sold it at a discount. I mean, that's what we sold it for. That's the tovatana. In other words, a guy will buy her ketubah from her, right, and pay a lesser amount. Why takes a risk? Look at Rashi. Between Nisan and Tisha, they're still married. And she sold the ketubah to somebody else. Rashi, what does it mean, betovatana'a? For a certain benefit. Rashi says, klomar bezol. It's obvious that she sold it cheap. Why cheap? Because the guy's buying it, he's taking a risk. He's putting his money in question over here. Why is he putting the money in question? If she dies before the husband, so Yerashenabala, her husband's going to inherit her, and she's not going to get a ketubah. The fact that she sold her ketubah doesn't make a difference. If you sell a ketubah, you are entitled to your ketubah if you get divorced or your husband predeceases you. If you predecease him, inherit your ketubah. Right? Ve'im yamut bala, I suppose that if she sold the ketubah before her husband died, and there's a receipt that she already and the signed contract that she sold it, can she? He's taking a risk still because it's not hers until he dies, right? And as long as he dies before her, correct? Ve'im yamud ba'ala, and if he dies or yigashena, yelokach b'mkoma. That v'yigvek tubata v'shuv lo haya le'ba'al lifro alak tuba. Ere lelokach v'shuvashita b'shma enoklum. Now, if she sold it, her husband shouldn't have paid her out the ketubah because she'll leave something else. It's not hers anymore. So in other words, this fact that there's a receipt signed, it dated June, and she only got it in January, but acted Nisan, she only got it in Tishrei, right? Why? Because she admits it. Should it go back to him? She might have, in the meantime, sold that ketubah to somebody else, and there's somebody else who owes the money. Now, the husband's got a shovar from the wife that he paid her out. When this guy comes to collect the lokeach, he's going to say to the yoshim now, when the guy dies, he's his ketubah. They're going to say, what are you talking about, his ketubah? They were already, when did you buy it? You bought it in Sivan. But look, from Nisan already, she got paid out of ketubah. It wasn't hers to sell you. And he has the shtar, correct? So how come we aren't choshesh? We say, the woman says, yes, he paid me back, give it back to the husband. But maybe they're colluding now and they're going to stalk this guy. She went and sold the ketubah in the meantime. She's been paid out. And now she's been paid out. It's not really hers. It's the husband's. And now after the husband dies, the yoshim comes and says, no. It's not. It's ours. All right? That's the, why aren't we worried about that? Look back in the Gemara. And now the husband rips out this receipt. It's got a Nisan date. And as a result of that now, the guy who bought the ketubah, the rightful owner of the ketubah, he's not going to get it. Because I'm going to show him a shovar from the wife predating the sale of this. Anachinami, he didn't lose too much money, right? Doesn't matter. It was his. So the gross Amar Rava. Rava says, from here, what do we see? We can prove over here another halacha altogether. Amar Shmami na ita l'deshmuel. Right? This is a Gemara which you learned in Baba Kama, by the way. We saw in Baba Kama and Daf Peitet. Shmami na, right? Look at Rashi here. Since we aren't worried about such a situation, this scenario didn't trouble Chazal. Right? Ita l'deshmuel. This is proof that the halacha is like Shmuel. What did Shmuel say? The Amar Shmuel, Hamocher shtarchov lechaveru v'chazeru machlo machu. V'afilu yoresh mocher. Shmuel said, if you've got somebody owes you money, right? You've got an agreement with somebody owes you $1 million. And you sell that shtar to somebody else. You sell the debt. Obviously, you sell the debt for a lot less, right? But you sell the debt. And now you decide to forgive the guy who owes you $1 million. You sold the debt for $100,000, let's say. And he said to the guy, I'm moichel you. The guy who paid you $100,000 got no claim against you. Because you sold him a star. The star was good. You were moichel. They're two different things altogether. And that is what, that's halacha l'shmuel. We can prove from here that halacha l'shmuel. That's what Rabbi says. Why is halacha l'shmuel?
He said that the creditor, after he's already sold.
After he sold the star, he moichels the debtor. Yes.
So then what happens?
Now the guy's got a star. Go claim, but the guy said, you forgot. I don't owe him any more the money. He wrote off the debt.
Yeah, but he's got a claim against the guy. That's
something, else.
Okay.
Right? I'm not sure what claim he would have against the
original credit. Because
I'm not sure either, but I didn't want to get into it.
Okay,
fine. No, he does.
But David wants to get into it.
Maybe they didn't have that understanding.
Honestly, you might be right. I apologize. Okay, but I want to finish the parak today. But you might be right. It doesn't matter. It's the one of the nicest thing to do. Don't do it. Not advisable. But since that's a look. Look at Rashi over here. It's in the Shmuel. The Amar Hamocher Shtar Chov Lechaveru. V'chazar Hamocher Hazeh. The guy who's like, Machalo, Machul Hu, it's the Love. The Love has got no debt any longer. Hilchach. So she says, this is the halacha. The Rabbi's proof is that the machloket, if Shmuel's right or not. Rabbi was he has proof that Shmuel's right. Why Shmuel right? Because the husband vis-a-vis the wife right, is a debtor. He owes her a ketubah eventually. She is the creditor, correct? She can be mochel him. So according to that, if the Ochav Shmuel is right, why do we have to go into this whole story about worrying about a star mukda, a star mukha, sold it to mitvarana, blah, 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 blah. It's pashut that that's the case. Anytime a woman, what he wants to say rather is, anytime a woman sells her ketubah to somebody, she can moichel the husband, and that guy won't have a claim against the ketubah. So why worry about it over here? In other words, what's the extra level of concern here that there's a shovar, not a shovar, even without a shovar? The woman can at any given time in her life forgive her, say to her husband, you know what, I want a ketubah from you, and write it off, correct? And then even if she sold the shovar to somebody else, and the dates were all right, she can moichel the husband still. So if the halacha is like Shmuel, that's why we don't care about giving back the shovar to the husband. Even without giving back the shovar, without any doing anything, if everything was kedat for kedin, if her husband, if she sold it in June and she only discussed with her husband in January afterwards, doesn't make any difference. She can always work on the husband, the credit, and that debt can disappear from the face of the earth. And then the lokeach, and this is why I think that David might be not so straightforward here, and then the lokeach basically hasn't got anybody to claim anything from. Because the according to Shmuel, and therefore we don't care about giving the shovar back to the husband or back to the wife. That's the proof over here. Okay, that was a rabba. Abaye said no. Abaye said afilu taimer later to Shmuel. Abaye said, you don't have to say anything about Shmuel over here. This might not certainly have any proof to play or at all to be even relevant to Shmuel, right? Hachemas b'tum over here, but she stark to be yotem tachet yada. She's got the ketubah. Now, if he paid her back the ketubah, why she got the ketubah? The first thing he's going to do is say, listen, lady, give back the ketubah. I want it with me. Now, there's a halachic problem. You aren't supposed to live in a house without a ketubah, right? With your wife, husband, and wife. So they're still married. It's still in the house. But just he's got the keys to the drawer. She hasn't got the keys to the drawer. Right? Shtar ketubah, you'll tell me tachet yado. She still got it.
If you mochel your ketubah, is it like living without a ketubah?
I don't know. That's what's going through my mind while we're talking. I don't know.
Look, you can't live in a house without a ketubah.
There's a halacha like that. You're supposed to be with your wife without a ketubah.
Let's say you lost it.
You got to get a new one.
Get divorced.
You got to get a new one. You got to get a new one. You got to get a new one. Got to get a new one.
Okay, but you can still live.
Okay, I'm not talking about for one night or two nights. I'm saying as a rule, you shouldn't live in a house with your wife without a ketubah. I don't know. In other words, we see the star. She brings the star. Okay, he has a problem. So Rabbi says, what are you talking about? She's got the ketubah. If she had sold, Rabbi said, we don't worry. There's no proof about Shmuel. Shmuel, moichel, not moichel. That's interesting at the moment. That's not the reason why I would give back the ketubah. Why we give back the shovah? We give back the shovah because the woman's got the ketubah in her house. And therefore, if she's got the ketubah, she wouldn't have not sold. Because if it was sold, the koneh would say, I want the ketubah. Give me the ketubah. That's my only claim I've got against your husband. And the fact that she got the ketubah, so my question over here would be also a question. If she gave him the ketubah, then they're living without a ketubah. I don't know. They can't have a second ketubah because a second ketubah would be a forged document, basically, because the first one is gone, is sold. I don't know. Question. Maybe it's only to Rabban on this idea of having living with a ketubah. I don't know. Okay, so now the Gemara explains Rava now. So Rava's got a bit of a problem because Rava said no. Rava imishum shtar ketubah chashin al shtar ketubah. Rava says if that's the whole proof that because she got a ketubah, then we can start paying worrying here about maybe there are two ketubahs, maybe there's a forged ketubah around. That's not very good. So Abaya, what's Abaya going to say? Abaya amar chad al shtar ketubah lochash. Abaya said we don't worry about this case of two ketubahs. We don't worry about it. Why Rashi says yeah, shem shtar ketubah hayulah veyesh lachush shem mashe chad lochash. We don't worry about that. It's too far-fetched that. So what Abaye wants to say, yeah, he's looking at Rashi. Definitely we hold like Shmuel. Because at any given time she can forego that ketubah. That's why we don't worry about this whole ruse about predating a document. Because she can moichel at any given time if the document was in case. And shtoch the lokeach. And that's why I'm not so sure about what David was saying earlier.
Why can she sell a ketubah? It's only valid if she gets divorced.
No, what do you mean? No, or her husband dies. How's
so
it done?
So she sold it as a discount.
But so she sold it now. She
paid her out even while they're married.
Of course, he paid her out. The husband can pay her out while they're married. But if she sold it to a third party, right, he's got to wait for the husband to die or for them to get divorced. Otherwise, there's no ketubah.
Like selling a life insurance policy.
It's like, selling any future income that you're going to get. You're going to sell it at a discount. The difference is a life insurance policy you're definitely going to get when you die. Here, you might not get it when you die because your husband, right? You might not get it when you die because if you die before your husband, you don't get a ketubah. That's the real risk of a life insurance policy. When the person dies, it pays out. The ketubah only pays out if the woman got divorced or the husband died before her. Mm-hmm. If she dies before the husband, he inherits her. Unless she sold it while they were alive and the husband agreed to the sale. The second thing that Abai says over here is, Shovar Mizmano Tarif. Abai says more than that. He says the Shovar from the date. Look at this. Look at Rashi over here. And Abai says we go after the date, not after when she got it, not when they handed it over. And Abai Latame, Damar Eda Bechotmav Zachino, the Edim on the star, they mezake her. It was the rights are conferred from the date of the shtar. So we aren't worried about this middle in the middle, whatever the case is. The date of the shtar is what it'll be. And if she sold her ketubah, the husband's out the picture. Not so straightforward. And now, please go, when we get to Gittin, we'll have to refresh our minds on that. Okay, a new Mishnah via Matzah Igrotshum. Now, if a person finds that these aren't garlic documents, right? Igrotshum via means from the word lashum, to appraise. So appraisal documents, which are like an evaluation. Look at Rashi. Sheshamu Beit Din Nichse Love Lemalve Bechovo. That the Beit Din had appraised the value, the assets of the borrower, right, for the lender. So in other words, he had to bring out and he'd lend him money. He wanted to do an assessment, how much is the guy worth, how much can he secure the loans, and it's all been attested by Edim. So for Beit Din, this Igrot Shum. Or Igrot Mazon, Avyashi says, Yoshekibel Alav Lazunit, but Ishto, documents that he signed with his wife that he'd pay for his wife's daughter to feed her, the case was, Shitre Chalitza. This is amazing, eh? Because if you see over here, all these shtarot, I don't know, to be honest with you, my understanding of all these activities, Chalitza and Yibum, they weren't all written down. But see, over here, there's a shtar Chalitza. There's a shtar Chalitza. The woman did Chalitza, the shtar. Beit Din signed a shtar. This woman done Chalitza. Or miyunin, what's miyunin? Look at Rashi over here. Ketani yotome sheisiyu imevach yadata. Right, when the father died, and there's no father, so Midi Rabbanan and Chachamim said that the mother and the brothers can go and marry her off, right, and yotzimenu miyun. Until she's 12 years old, she can just walk out of the relationship and says, I want to go home. Ve'enet shechaget, right? Ela omeret, she says, b'fnei shlosha. This is also, I don't remember this. In front of three people, she says, if she b'prati bali, I can't live with this guy. The kotvin la beit in shtar shemiyana bifneim and give her a shtar that she did miyun liot la edut shemuter dinasei to prove that she's not married to this guy anymore because he might come and say no, what are you doing? You're going to get married? You married me? You never left before you were 12 years old. You left when you were 14, and you still and you're in a suah. And what are you talking about? He has my shtar miyun. She was 11 and 10 and a half months. She walked out and she got a shtar. Or shitre birurin, should be like an arbitration agreement. Look at Rashi, begor mafaresh. Right, v'chol maaseh beit din. So the Gemara is saying that as a class. We've got examples of Igrot Shum, Igrot Mazon, Shitre Chalitza, Miyunin, Shitre Birurin, and all other maaseh beit din. Harei ze yachzir. If you find any of these documents, you give them back. Look at Rashi. Deleken amecha, l'shem benim lach. We don't worry here that the guy just wrote them down and changed his mind. Dehar beit din lo katvum, ele bedabar mekuyam. Right? Beit Din wouldn't get involved. And so it was something which was mekuyam. In other words, it's been approved. This was a proper document. And Beit Din attested to the validity. And it was done, etc., etc., etc. But Lepir Onami, in terms of payment as well. Like the Michash, the Bahani Shtarot, Lo Shaykh Bu Pir On, Kermin Leel. And even if people say, maybe an opinion on the day, that if a guy lost the document, didn't look after it enough, it's his problem. Yeah, no, everybody agrees over here. These are Masi Beit Din. They've all been attested to all documents that you can claim from. They've got validity. You give them, they get lost, you give them back. מצא בחפיסו בדלוסקמה. If you find a chafis like a bundle, Rashi says, yeah, but chafis is shum star or bedluskemo, like in a box. Rashi says over here, I thought I saw a Rashi that says what a dluskema is, but now I can't see it. Matzah b'chafiso odluskema. Shum star. Okay, I don't know. But dluskema, I think it's like a box. Or she matzah.
The note says that on the next amud, it will explain what
Okay, so maybe I saw it on the next amud, because I've already seen the next amud. So I was pretty sure that I saw a Rashi that said a dluskema was like a box. I even think things that old people use to put stuff in. Where's a Rashi? Can I see a Rashi anywhere on the next box?
Does that mean old people should put stuff
in? Like old people, like, I mean, a person's very old.
What, about 61? What's the age?
exactly what I was concerned about.
Right, but okay, I can't see it now, but anyway, maybe we'll get to it. I'm pretty sure I saw it somewhere.
More like
81. 81, yeah, 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 that's not old, that's not old, that's not, yeah. Okay, let's carry on. So Rashi says over here, if you found it, in a bundle or loose in a box, shum star, says over here, matzah b'chafisa b'dluskama, tachrich shel shtarot, aguda shel shtarot, or she matzah tachrich shel shtarot, b'krach or b'aguda, like karuch, like, you know, when you like likroch something, like bound. But yeah, I think it means like folded over, bundled up or something, or b'aguda in a pile or in a bundle. Rashi says, "Gemara Farish, my tfisa v'dluskema v'tachrich v'aguda." Okay, Rashi says, "We'll see in the Gemara later on what's the difference between a chafisa, a dluskema, a tachrich, and an aguda. What difference between all these different types of things? Or aguda shall start as the Mishnah. Harez yachs. In all these cases, you give them back. Look at Rashi. The davar sheyesh po siman. We've got a siman. We'll see in the Gemara. She akli siman. The box that you've got is a siman. Kishyamu rabali, but kli kach v'kach matzalotam." Because they'll say, Kishiyomi, the Bali will say that you must have found, like if you get a box of the Kach Tachri for Aguda, which was bundled in a certain way, Hareze Yachzi, you give it back. The Dava Shech Mosiman, or Siman Kibaj, we'll see that on. See, anytime it's got a sign and the guy can prove what it is, we give it back. So now the Mishnah says, Vakama Aguda shows, what's how many is in a good in a bundle? So the Tarakama says, Shloshak Shurin Zebazir, three that are tied up. Right, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Echad. Halove mishlosha. This might be a new aloha actually. So that's shlosha actually in the tiles together. Now a new aloha. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Echad alove mishlosha, or yilva mishlosha. If one guy borrowed from three different people, right? Look at Rashi. Im shlosha shtarot shalove echad min hein shlava mishlava ben adam. We find a bundle that's three loan agreements from three different people, but to one person. With three guys lent one person money. So it's pashut the achsi de love. He says, give back to the love. Right, look at Rashi. Devadai param bechziram lo umiado naflo shumiadam naflo mikapsam nikle makom echad. But if it's obvious that the love had paid back the shtarot to the three different people, and give back to the love. If they belong to the malve, why would one guy have shtarot from three different people? We understand why the one malve might have his shtar, but why has he got two other guys shtarot? So the chances are, the probability are that it was one guy, a love, he owned mainly three people, and they'd all paid him back the shtarot, and he lost the bundle, give it back to him. On the other hand, shlosha halavin mina echad, if it was three documents, loan documents, but all the money had come from one person, right, to three different people, so yachzi the malve, here we give it back to the malve. Same idea. Why would the three different people who owed money, why would they all be with one guy? It's Pashas. Was the Malve's documents and they all owed to him? Give it back to the Malve. Right? Shlosha halavin mena echayachzik. Matzah shtar ben shtarotav. You found a document amongst your pile of other documents. You're going through your filing cabinet and you found a whole lot of documents there. And you found a document and you're not sure what it is. V'anoidah mativo, exactly what that document's all about. Rashi says, v'anoidah mativo etz lo. Right? Im... Halove hifkido etzlo or hamalve. Right, you're not sure now if the you're a third party. I understand from this Mishnah. You're not sure now if the creditor gave it you to look after or the debtor gave it you to look after. Right, yemunach sham ad shavo Eliyahu. See what the Mishnah says? You wait there for Eliyahu and Avi to come. You don't pretend that you know better. Im yesh imahen like a taker. Right, im yesh imahen simfonot. What are simfonot? Rashi says, "Yeah, meshim and simfonot." Right? There's a Rashi over here from Ketubot. Says simfonot. Says lashon simfon hu bitu. The word simfon means that it cancels out something. Kagon shovar mevatel shtar karui simfon. So if you've got a loan agreement and you've got a receipt that the money's being paid, the receipt cancels out the debt. It's called a simfon. And Rashi gives other examples over here. He says, "O mum ve'isha o behema." A mum in a woman, for example, or in an animal, shemavater amekach karu simfon. So if you marry a woman and you discover, I don't know, that she's a ilonit chas v'shalom, right? So that would be a mekach taut in the marriage. That would be a simfon. If you bought an animal as a korban, you see suddenly it's missing an eye. Rather be a simfon, because you're carving the korban as the animal as a korban. So he said, im yesh imahen simfonot. So if there are these documents with you when you found, right? Rashi's over here. Hamotze ben shtarotav shovar shlichtav alechad mishtarotav. So you got a couple of documents now, a loan agreement from somebody. There's also a receipt over there that it seems like he paid you. So yaseh ma sheba simfonot. You don't act according to the agreement. You act according to the simfon, which cancels the agreement. In other words, you're giving the creditor, the debtor, the benefit of the doubt. Okay, the Gemara is like this. Ma shidra birurin, a couple of just clarifications quickly along the way. What are these documents here called birurin? Like when we want to say, like, what's going on to levaret, what did I say birurin were? I said arbitration agreements, right? But how did I translate a shidra birurin in English, by the way?
Clarification.
Okay.
Documents of clarification.
Clarification. Okay, that's levaret. I can clarify. Okay, ma shidra birurin. So we said, hachat tiguin, by the way, we said shidra ta'anta. Right? What is shidra ta'anta? Like claim documents, people are claiming. It was, I suppose each person's writing their claim. It's like some sort of like a process, right? It says, no, this is a birurin over here is when it comes to choosing dayanim. You know how you choose a dayan, right? So when you choose a dayan for court, there are three dayanim. Each party chooses one dayan. So you choose one dayan, he chooses one dayan. And then I'm not sure how they have to agree on the third dam. But yeah, it says, yeah, Kishaborin Lady and Dan, Kotvinle and Zebire Lloyd Ploni, Vizebire Lloyd Ploni, so you chalach Zorben. So you can't change your mind after the word. You sign on the dotted line, you accept him as the judge, and I accept him as the judge, and therefore that's how we point. Those are the separate words. That's a machloket over there. Another case of the Mishnah was, he said, Kol Masi Beinu Ezei Yachzi. So Gemara brings a story now. We saw this story the other day. Remember with Rabbah, we saw it in Daf Yud Chet, 2 days ago, and we already saw it with the Gemara, which we already seen in Ketubot. We had in the Gemara in Daf Yud Chet, we were discussing that the Beit Din of Rav Huna was like a place where Shayarot Mitzuyot, remember? It was a busy place when traffic was there. We're trying to, remember, because Rabbah had two conditions in the get. Remember, for a get to be a good get. Firstly, if it was found on the floor in the place where there wasn't a busy place of traffic, also there'd be a concern that there were two people with the same name in the same town. Remember that? So we have, now this is the same story. So now we're discussing another story. This is about Masir Beitin. Ahu Davekati Beshviri. So they found this to get to the Ishtach Beitin in Ravuna. The Havekati Beshviri Mata the Arachis Nahara. That this place was found. This was found in a place called Shviri on the river. And I'm Ravuna. Ravuna said Chayshina and Shnei Shviri. We're concerned about two places of Shviri. And Rabbi wasn't so concerned about it. I was concerned about two people in the same town with the same name. But so now, Amar Rav Chizdir, Rav Puk, Ayin de Lerut, Bayil Rav Huna, he said, go check up on Rav Chizdir to Rabba. Go check up the Aloha, because tonight, Huna's going to come and ask you questions. Now, fuck Dak Vashkach, he went and he did some research, and he found the Mishnah said, call Maaseh Beitin, or Yachzir, any star of Beitin, which is a Maaseh Beitin, like all these examples we gave in our Mishnah now, you return them. Look at Rashi, the Kevan de Lo, Huchzaku, Shnei Yosef, Ben Shimon, Be'ir Achad, he says there, we're discussing here about the get. Since there's no people with the same name in that town, we don't worry about another Yosef and Shimon somewhere else. And that's what Rabbi said, give the star back. So Amalev Aram le Rabba, Rama said to Rabba, Hechi Pashit Mar Isurim Imamona. How did you get there? Our question is a question of Isura. Isura is a gate. And you are answering me about a star mammon. You're discussing me a din of mammon. How do you learn from mammon, right, to gittin? In other words, you're telling me over there, he says, call Masav Erez Yachzir. Right, so Amram is not too happy about it. Right, how could you now bring a case of a get over here and solve it from a case of mammon? Now, which is mammon? Our Mishnah is mammon. Because we're in Masechet Bava Metzia, right? So we're discussing the Zikin. And he's talking there about a question of a get. So he says, our Mishnah says, look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Kol Maase Beitin Hareze Yachzir. So Rabbi brought our Mishnah in the Zikin to solve the question that Rav Huna and Rav Chizda were asking to find out about, with regard to this get that got lost. And he said it gets a star baked in, and therefore you give it back. But what are you talking about? But that's talking about Mammon. So look what Rabbi says to him. Amale. Right? This is quite he says here, Tarda. Now there are a couple of expressions of what Tarda means. There's a Rashi over here from Kretut where he says Tarda Shote. Shote means like a fool, idiot. What's the English there? How do they translate it in English?
Lunatic.
Lunatic, right? Right. I was scared to even use the word idiot over here, right? Lunatic. So that's how the Rashi over here explains it. Our Rashi over here is a much more polite. He says, Meshua Mam. You obviously are lazy. You're obviously very bored for saying such a thing, right? But the Mishra Shah sends us to look at Baba Kama Kufay, Rashi Bura Matkil Tardi, obviously something else over there. But anyhow, if you look in the Rabbi Chananel says, Amalei Tarde, and there's a Cheshek Shlomo, Rabbi Chananel says, Girsa Ha'aruch says, Tarda, Upire Shote, Umorid Rir. Morid Rir, I don't know, like he's got like a guy who's like a bit deranged. He's got like saliva pouring out of his mouth, frothing at the mouth. Yeah. So he says to him, the Rabbi responds very, very aggressively, right? He says, Shtare Chalitza Umiunin Tanan. He says, you look in our Mishnah that I quoted in the Zikin, in Bava Metzia. It didn't just speak there about Mammon. It said, Magori got Shum, and he got Mazon, and Shtare Chalitza Umiunin. So what? Chalitza and Miunin are different to Gittin? Those aren't dinai mamonot. Those are dinai isur v'heter. Says the Mishnah speaking there about isur v'heter. Just like any other star and a get exactly the same. So what's your story? Look at the Gemara says this from this response over here between Rav Amram and Rabba, right? Having this tiff. I can't even of a nicer word, right? Bit of a go with each other there. The Gemara says, Paka Arza Debei Rav. The Arza, the Erez, the pole that was holding up the Beit Midrash, the Beit Rav, Paka, seemed to like split or crack or something. Rashi says over here, Paka Arza Rav, Nishbar Ha'amud Shebet HaMidrash Nishan Alav. The pillar that was holding up the Midrash broke, was the roof collapsed. Now it seems like it was clear to Rabbi and to Amram that this was because of them. Just each one now is, I don't know if they want to take responsibility or they don't want to take responsibility. Now, I'll tell you why I said it, because I'm not sure if I understand the Rashi properly. Rashi looks at the Gemara like this, Mar Debeirav, Mar Amar, right? Mishum Letai Didi Paka. I think this is Rav Amram, right? Look at Rashi here. He says, Mar Amar Mishum Letai Didi Paka, She Heshavta Al Devarai Levai Sheini Bebel Midrash. Now, who was the guy that responded to my words? Rabbi responded to my words. So this is Rabbi Abraham saying, why did it break? Because you responded the way you did to me. Umar, and therefore Rabbi said, Amar, Mishum Latai Didi Paka. Now look at Rashi. Umar, Amar, Mishum Latai Didi, Sheheshavta Al Devarai, Levai Sheini Bebeit HaMidrash. Because you wanted to embarrass me by saying to me, basically, when I gave my answer, says Rabbah, right? What? So that is, it's according to that, it would seem over there that each one is blaming the other one, right? I'm not sure why, when I saw this Rashi yesterday, I wasn't sure which way it was going, but now it seems clear to me that basically each one's blaming the other one.
The note says from Maharsha that they were not each claiming that they had been vindicated. Rather, each one was accepting responsibility for the calamity that befell the building.
Okay, but I'll be honest with you. I saw something last night. I don't know where I saw it, which made me think that. I didn't see the Maharsha. But here in our Rashi, it's Pashut. That what the Maharsha is saying isn't written on our daf. Let's put it that way. But last up when I read this Rashi, it was a bit difficult for me to understand. Nishbar habuch by the midrash, bishvil milay shek. You know what? Look here. Mar amar mishum. Yeah, this is the Rashi that I felt difficult to. I skipped it. But the Rashi, yeah, look at this. The first Rashi is Maral Mishum Litai Didi Paka Bishul Mazali Shekina Al Shegedaftani. That's the Rashi I had difficulty with. Okay, I found the Rashi. I knew I'd seen it. Look here. Rashi says, Bishvil mazali, in other words, my fault, my mazal, shekina, I was angry, al shegidaftani, that you spoke to me badly. With the fact that I was upset that you spoke to me badly, the fact that I had kinet towards the way you spoke to me, that's what caused it. So it was, I'm to blame. My response to how you responded to me, and that could be, Omar amishum letayri lipaka, sheshafta al devarai levai sheni bebed amidrash. But this is a difficulty one. That you responded to me to embarrass me. I'm not sure. Could go either way. Anyhow, that was the story. Okay, Matzab, now we go back to our Mishnah. Matzab chafisa bedlushkema. Right, so now the Gemara says, my chafisa. What's the chafisa? What do you mean chafisa? Rabbi Chana, chema ketana. A chemet ketana. Look at Rashi. Shel or shenot nin bo yayin. Like a little wine bottle. We've seen these like wine bottles. Right, a little wine, leather, wine, it's a little like leather. There's a word for it. It's called a...
Flask.
No, but flask. There's a word, what?
Nod.
A nod, yeah, nod. A nod. That's a nod. But what we use in Hebrew, in English, there's like a word for it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's often animals, a part not of the animal. It's called patch. A vein, or a, not a vein, it's called a...
A patch.
A bladder.
A bladder. Thank you, that's the word I was thinking of. Like a bladder, like a leather bladder. That's what we call it, right? Thank you. So he says, so that is it. Look, chafisa rabbi achuna chemakna. And my gluskema. So says Rashi, Gemoris, rabbi Shmuel, talike de save. Yeah, we are. Rashi says, taska, a little box. She askeini matzniim ba clay tashmishan. Now, I knew I'd seen that, right? That the Gemara says, sabe, taska de save. Of the grandparents, the grandfathers. Right? Tasha, that changes the word of age now. It's no longer age. Anybody's a grandfather here, right? He's fits into that category. So all you put your hands up, all of you, can be from in the 50s right up until the 80s, right? So across the board. Right? So he says, Baketash Mishan, Shelo Yitzdachu Lechapes Achen. Why do they use it? So Sal, when you said, why do they use it? So they get forgetful in their older age. They don't want to forget where they put things. They've got a dedicated box where they put their things in. That's what Rashi says. They won't forget where it is. That's what they use a box for. I've got news for you. Since I was about 30, I've got one place where I put my car key because otherwise I'd never find it. Right? Okay. Tachrich shel starot agula starot. Now we get back to this. Say a bundle or a wrapping. So tarot, but an kamahu tachrich shel starot. How many starot are in what we call a tachrich? Like in a balance. The Gemara says, shlosha kruchin zibri. Three that are folded up, one all together. The kame and agula. What's an agula? So that is if they wrapped up, like folded. And how much is an agula? A bundle? So Gemara says, what do we learn from that? Shema mina, kesher is a siman. The fact that we know how they're tied up, how they're bundled, or they're tied up in a different way, the knot becomes a siman. But if you can describe to the guy who found it how it was tied up, it's yours. So Gemara says, v'ha tari b'chidra b'chia say, shlosha kruchin zeh b'zeh. Rabbi Chia said that aguda, right? When we said shlosha kruchin zeh b'zeh, what's an aguda? Rabbi Chia said an aguda is three. What's in between tachrich and an aguda to Rabbi Chia? So the tachrich, kol chad v'chad b'roshet d'chabre. When we say tachrich, each one, all three are tied up at the top of the page. And aguda, the ramu adad, they sort of put one on top of each other and rolled up. So the Gemara says, okay, so my machris, when the guy finds it, what does he shout out? He says, minai minyan, how many? He says, I don't understand, but then my ear et lata, filu trei nami, why do you say only three? It could be two also. Someone says, no, the Krama Ravina. What do Ravina say? Tava machis, when it comes to finding coins, right? Tabod, how do you hachanami shitra machis? So with coins, you can't say to the guy, if you say how many coins did you find, by definition, coins means a minimum two. So the guy says two, you gave it away, right? So you have to be more than two for it to be a siman, otherwise, same thing with starot, etc. Rishum and Gavli Meir, Chad Lovim, Shloshi Yachsi Lulu. Rishum and Gavli, the Mishnah said, I'm going a little bit quick now, I apologize, but coming into the parak. Rishum and Gavli said that if you find three documents, and they all got the same lender's name on, right? In other words, the lender lent to all three, so the chance are it's the lenders. If they've got three different names on, so then it's a borrower. So if it's from one person, three documents that are all the money lent from the same person, the chance are it was the lenders. If they three different lenders, the chances are it's the borrower. Okay, they borrowed from three different people. So it goes like this. Because if you're going to think, right, the Gemara explains that. If it's the Malves, so then what, if they belong to the Malve, so my Gabu Gabe Hadani, what they're all doing together with, if it's three different Malvim, why is it with this one Malve? So Gemara says, no, Dilma de Kumainu, as maybe that he had gathered them all together just to go to Beit Din to put a star to get a kum. Gemara says, the Mekayme. But Dilma Media to suffer. And the Gemara says, no, they were already Mekuyam Nishtarot. That wasn't the reason why one guy had carried them all together, taken them to Beit Din. But Dilma Media to suffer enough, and they fell from the Sofer. Gemara says, no, Lo Mashin is Kiyume, Pela Sofer. A guy wouldn't leave a Shtar Mekuyam with the Sofer. That makes sense. Sofer comes before the Shtar gets Mekuyam, right? After it's been written, then it goes to Beit Din. Wouldn't be with the Sofer. Okay, we say, Shlosha Shalavu Mecha, three guys are borrowed from one person. We said, Yachzi the Malve, get it back to the Malve. So Gemara says that is a lot of the love in Inu. If they all to the love, so my bow got behind it. Why they all, if they belong to the love, from three different loving from one malve, why is one love got all three shtarot? So Gemara says, Dilma le michtavinu azle. Right? So he says, maybe he took them to he had got them written. The Gemara says, no, dichtiva betlat yosef. You see that they're three different suffering. It wasn't one suffering, they're three different suffering. So it couldn't have been. Right, that the Malve, that the Love had taken, the three different Lovim all went to, because they all were in cahoots with this one Malve, that I get all the stories written. No, they were all written by different Lovim, by different Sofrim. So the Dilma Likumina also, the one said, no, Malve Mekayam Shtarot, Love Lo Mekayam Shtarot. Couldn't be the Mekuyam. A Love has anything to do with the Mekuyam. The Malve is the guy who goes to Beit Din to Mekayam Shtar, not the Love. Okay, then we said, Yashimayan Sinfonot, Yasem Mashim Sinfonot, if they've got the Shovarim on them, we find a Shtar and a Shovar, we act on to the Shovar, in other words, it cancels out the Shtar. So Amar Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Amar Rav. Now we're going to bring Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Rav and we're going to ask about five or six kashas on him until the end of the parak. So just follow with me now, right? Let's just get the first one right and it'll make sense. So he said like this, Amar Rav Yishua Amar Rav Amar Rav. Simfon, if you've got a simfon, a shovar, right, which can't have, you'll tell me tachad yad malve, which the malve's got a star and he's got the receipt as well. Who should have the receipt really if the money had been paid? The lender, the love should have it, the borrower, not the malve, right? She says, if the malve's got the shovar, the simfon, written in the malve's handwriting, it's nonsense. We ignore it. There's no reason why a shovar should be with the malve. Shovar is only valid with the love. Right, the Gemara says, "Let me buy a katu b'chtav yad sofer." It's partially was written. It's sofer. We don't care about it. Ikel lemeimar safra. It's Rabbi Levi Kata. Why would the sofer have it? The sofer, because the guy went to the sofer, said to the sofer, "Never pay me a shtar because I'm waiting for the guy to come and be back any moment now. And if he comes, I haven't got a receipt for you. I give you the money. Write me a receipt." Elafilu katu b'chtav. Even if it's written in his handwriting, it's still pasul. Why? Savar, what do we say? Dilma mitramev ati ben ashmashot v'kapari li. The guy wrote the star, the invoice, waiting in case the guy would come at night. I wouldn't have time to go to the sofer. Haven't got it. If the ilo yahavini le, if I don't give him a shovar, lo yahavini zu, I give him my money. Therefore, I write the star, d'chiyati le, zuzi eten le. In other words, we say, the shovar was never a used shovar. The guy, the malve just used it, wrote it, prepared in anticipation, because he thought the guy's going to come pay back the money. Some people believe that guys are going to pay them back the money. Okay? There are people like that. They have a lot of faith. Right? So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. If the shovar is with the malve, it's not meaningless. Okay, now the Gemara asks a couple of kashas. First kasha of our Mishnah. Im yesh ben simfonot, yase mashe ben simfonot. Didn't our Mishnah say that if there's a simfon, you act according to the simfon? And it made no difference if it was the malve or the love. So our Mishnah seems to contradict Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Avin, correct? Because he always says it's with a malve, you don't act. Then what's that? Amar Rav Safra. What did Rav Safra say? She nimtza bein shtarot kruyin. Rav Safra said, no. If you've got a whole bunch of torn up documents and amongst your old files you found this shovar, then you can do it. It's out to here, kruyin. Hachanami she matzu bein shtarot kruyin. Amish talk about a case like that. And that's why you could use it. Because there's grounds to believe. Look at Rashi. He says over here, nimtza bein shtarot kruyin. But nitni beget pashut. This is a simple document. Shnei Yosef ben Shimon be'irachat, v'nimtza shovar la'adam echad ben shtarotav, v'katub bo shtarot shel Yosef ben Shimon be'de paruhu, v'haya lo shnei shtarot shenem. Right? If you've got the two guys of the same name who borrowed money, they found two shtarot, only one simfon, we don't know who it was, the two guys in the same town, you're going to act according to both of them because you've got other all torn up documents in your file. But as a rule, it wouldn't work. That is the first answer to kash number one. Now, kash number two, Toshma. Another bright, nimtza le'echad ben shtar ben shtarot, shoshel Yosef ben Shimon parua. Oh no, sorry, this is the Rashi. We found two documents from Yosef ben Shimon and one Shtar Parua. And we said from that point, they're both parua. The Gemara says, "Yeah, Rav Safa shlims the beishol kareen, hachanami shlims the beishol kareen." The same answer the Gemara gives. That whenever we find them amongst a whole bundle of piles, and it seemed like it was there, and there was justification why it had been there. You got other torn up documents, old documents, etc. We go with the shtar. Another kashya, shvua. The Bais says, "What about a shvua? A shvua over here, and a bit of background to the shvua." Rashi says over here, a shvua. Shvua down. Mishnah heva shvua. Mishnah b'sekel shvuot. Yatomim ina yatomim. So a bunch of orphans are coming out to claim money from another bunch of orphans that their fathers had lent money one to the other. Okay? So now, Rashi says over here, lo yifru elibush, they have to make a shvua. So that's why a shvua, what's the shvua that they make? So Rashi says, umau shvua, tan, this is the shvua that they make. Shvua shlo pakadnu abba. What do you mean shlo pakadnu abba, Rashi? Shvua shlo pakadnu abba. This is the fourth last of Rashi at the bottom. Shlo pakadnu abba b'tzavat mita. Right, he never made anything, he never seen anybody died. Vishlo Amaru called him like he never seen him before he died. Vishlo Matsunu Shova Ben Shtarotah, we never found any receipts in his papers. Shlaba al Shtar Zeh Shehi Paru, that it indicated that your debt had been paid. Ha imatsao samchina, because if we had, we would have relied on them. So what does it say? What does the Mishnah say over here? Shtarot shel Abba Irach, Shvua Shlo Pakadu Abba Shlo Amaru Abba Shlo Matsunu Ben Shtarot shel Abba Shtar Zeh Parua. Ah, if we had found, and our father was the Malveh, if we did find a shtar, then we make me a shvua that we never found a shtar that it had been paid. We never found a shovar amongst his books. If we did find a shovar amongst his books and our father was the malva, then what's the implication of this shvua over here? Then we'd have to assume and treat it as if the debt was repaid. But I don't know if you ever having said that if you find the shovar amongst the malva, the lender's debts in his possession, we ignore it. Everybody with me? Clear? Right? So Amar Rav Safra, Shenimtsa Ben Shtar Kriyot. Okay, the same answer we always give, right? In other words, it was hidden amongst these torn documents. And therefore, whenever we've got other documents which imply that the guy had a whole big bundle of filing stuff and things were a little bit lost. I know some people who've got documents like they're going through the documents all the time. And they're always coming up with new documents and finding things in old documents. Classic case, you wouldn't be able to have a claim against anybody that you hadn't paid you back the money. Okay? Another kasha, toshma, simfon sheyesh alav edim yitkayem b'chotmav. Yeah, the brightness says straight out. A simfon, a shovel like that, which has got edim on it, you got to hit kain b'chotmav. It's valid. You can. It works. So what do you mean? Look at Rashi. Because I im amar malve lo nifrati, v'te im amar malve lo nifrati. I haven't been repaid. V'te da asher lo masalti lach. I never gave. Hit kain b'chotmav. Al pi chotmav hit kain. In b'chotmav medin shechatmuhu ein amar v'neman. If the edim on the star shovar, we don't trust the malve. What do you mean you weren't paid? Yeah, there's a shovar with edim on it. So that's so the one says no. Ema you can't. The one says no. What does it mean you can't b'chotmav? What Michal Gomez the shadin l'usari. We go and ask the edim. We don't just rely on the star. So you Rabbi Yirmiyahu Avin is not wrong. You can't automatically just say the star is a good star. He's right. If the malve has got it and the edim, we go to the edim. Say to them. So that's why it wouldn't be, it's not a kasha necessarily against Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Avi. Another kasha. I think this is the last one. Simfon sheyesh lav edim kasher. Same thing, similar brighter. Here it says pashut, which is more straightforward. Kasher. Someone says my edim. Someone says no. What is edim? Edei kiyum. Someone says not really a machloket. These are edei kiyum, not edei stam. That says shekadvu henpek. The Beit Din lo makamel elim ken para. Their Beit Din wouldn't have put shtarim on and henpek in it and validated the shtar for having been paid. And the Gemara says you're right. Hachin doesn't make sense. But Tani say, what did the brother say? The she'en lav edim pasul. When he has an edim pasul, ma'en lav edim ilam v'delaika ilav edim klal shi'chad li ma'en bit pasul. If they weren't edim at all, we need a brother to tell me that it's pasul. Even edim is definitely pasul. Ela lav, we're talking about edek yum. Okay, so that was the end of the other. Gemara discusses that brighter and says, Simfon just have edim mitkayem b'chotmav. What we saw a moment ago, the previous Amud, if it's got edim on it, so yitkayem b'chotmav. Look at Rashi, the last wide lines. V'afilu yotzei mitachat yad malve kasher. This is a little bit different from Yirmiyahu Avin. Now, if it's got star kiyum, even if the malve, it would be a good star. We have to say that the star was paid. So the Gemara is like, ein lav edim, v'yotzei mitachat yadei shalish. Or should you say la'achar chitum shtarot kasher? Now he says if he hasn't, so that's got edim. He's got edim, kiyum, fine. But if he hasn't got edim, but it's a third party holding it, or should you say la'achar chitum shtarot? Or if it's a receipt signed at the bottom of the shtar, there's a shtar halva'a loan agreement, and under the shtar at the bottom, beneath the edim shtar, there's a side paid back. right? Also kosher. So Gemara explains, you'll say mitach yedei shalish, if it's a third party, daha hem name malve l'shalish. Because it seems like the malve trusted the guy that gave it in. And you'll say lachar chitum shlot nami, and so too, if it's signed at the bottom of the document, also kosher, why? Te'i lav, the paria, if the malve hadn't received the money back, hadn't been paid back, lo have a mare le l'shtare, he wouldn't damage, weaken, ruin this document by bringing it into question and paid on the document itself. Therefore, it must be paid. Adranalach shnaim ochsin. Adranalach shnaim ochsin. Adranalach shnaim ochsin. Okay, finished. Perek Rishon. Bezor Hashem. Perek Shani tomorrow.